or tape CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2008 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the Sunday afternoon 1:15 Ladies Deliverance Service, May the 25th, 2008. Judy Duffy is the speaker of this service, teaching on the tongue.
We are so blessed to be here, and my name is Judy Duffy. I don't think I've met everybody yet, but my name is Judy Duffy, and I live here at the campground. And it's a wonderful place, and I'm scared. Kevin, be sure and edit it this out. We trust that the Lord is speaking to everybody at this camp. He's speaking to me, I know, and that's what we're all here for, is to hear from Him. I love each one of you, even though I haven't got to be with you. And God's teaching me about relationships and how to love people where they are. And it's wonderful. It really is. Because when you can look at somebody and see Jesus in them, oh my goodness. You can just identify with that. And it's wonderful. Judy felt like today that since I'm learning about love relationships, that's what I wanted to share on. But, and we probably will get into that a little later, but what I want to start with is, being women, we probably need to look at our tongue. So I'm going to share a little background on our tongue, and then the diseases of our tongue, and how we can fix them. So I want to begin with prayer. So thank you, Lord, for each woman here. Thank you for the hunger that you have given each one of us for you. Take my tongue, Holy Spirit, and use it to glorify Jesus in everything I say. Thank you, Jesus. And I ask you these things in your precious name. Amen. Okay, we all understand our head. We have seven openings in our head. We have two eyes, two ears, a mouth, and two nostrils. Okay, does anybody wish they had another mouth? I don't think I've ever met anybody that wished they had two mouths. This one opening causes us more problems than all the rest of them combined together. There is an enormous amount of study in the Bible about the mouth and the tongue and the lips. There's over 2,000 references in the Old Testament alone. So there's no area in our personality more directly related to our well-being than our mouth and our tongue. Let me ask, how was everything created, and what is Jesus called in John 1? The Word. So, we'll get into the diseases. I have six diseases. I'm going to name them, and then I'm going to tell you about each one of them. And then I have four steps to healing them, and I'll tell you what they are. So, one is excessive talking. Two is gossip. Three is flattery. Four is idle or careless words. Five is lying. And six is hastiness of speech. So we're going to look at excessive talking first. Well, let me back up. I've done past myself. Well, first, I'll tell you about the Bible's picture of the tongue. In James 1:26, he says, if anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. Okay? The next picture we're going to look at about the tongue, this is before we get to the diseases, is revealed in the Word in the very, very important book of James. Jesus made it clear in Matthew 12:34, for the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart, or the heart overflows through the mouth, thereby revealing the true condition of the heart. Now, in James 3:1-12, James made four analogies of the tongue. He used a horse and bridle, or a bridle and bit, excuse me, a ship's rudder, and a small kindling of fire. Need that spit collar. The horse in this passage is a symbol of strength. The teaching being that we can control the strength of this animal with the bridle and the bits. Okay, the ship is usually akin to a person's life. And here we need to realize the direction and course of our life, as well as others, can be set by our tongue. If the rudder is not used properly, shipwreck will occur. I have had people in my life to tell me things like, you're going to get sick if you do that. And for many years, I accepted that. But I've learned that I don't have to accept that. Say, no, I don't accept that. I'm not going to get sick. For things like getting out in the rain or, you know, things like that. People say, you're going to get sick if you do that. I say, mm-mm, not me. Mm-mm. So, and the fire. The other one is the fire. It's usually associated with purification or destruction. How could such a small member be so powerful? Well, consider all the forest fires across the nation. They are very powerful. Okay, we're going to get into the very first one, which is excessive talking. Well, thank you. Okay. I hope that we can see that even though the tongue is a small member, it exercises considerable power. I think we are all aware that this small member has set sparks that have burned many relationships. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. So disease number one is excessive talking. Proverbs 10:19 tells us, when there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise. Ecclesiastes 5:3 tells us, for the dream comes through much effort, and the voice of a fool through many words. And Matthew 5:37 tells us, but let your statement be yes, yes, and no, no, and anything beyond these is evil. People are always talking are restless people. Have you ever been with somebody that made your head swim because they just talk? What is the root problem here? It's restlessness. James 3:8 tells us, no one can tame the tongue. It is restless, evil, and full of deadly poison. So, disease number two is idle or careless words. Matthew 12:36 tells us, and I say to you that every careless word that men shall speak, shall they render account of for in the day of judgment. Mm. Matthew 12:36. Okay. To paraphrase, it means if you don't mean it, don't say it. Okay. Disease number three is gossip. Leviticus 19:16 says, you shall not go about as a slanderer among your people, and you are not to act against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. Proverbs 18:8 tells us the words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body. Proverbs 20:19 says, he who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a gossip. I would tell you today that when somebody places in front of you some choice morsels of gossip, don't swallow it. It's poison. It may appear sweet and tasty at the moment, but remember what James says. It is poison. Gossip is poison. Also, we don't need to become an accessory to somebody else's crime. So, okay. Disease number four is lying. Proverbs 6:16-19 tells us, there are six things which the Lord hates, yes, seven which are abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, and a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among the brothers. One of those seven specific things the Lord hates, three of them are related to the tongue. Two are specifically related to lying. And also in Proverbs 12:22, it says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal faithfully are his delight. Please also remember that behind every lie is the father of lies, who is Satan. Every time a lie passes through our lips, it comes from him. Okay? Disease number five is flattery. Proverbs 29:5. A man who flatters his neighbor is spreading a net for his steps. Romans 16:17-18. Now I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances contrary to the teaching which you learned, and turn away from them. For such men are slaves, not of our Lord Jesus Christ, but of their own appetites. And by their smooth and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. I believe this snare, our net we need to be aware of, is twofold. First, speaking flattering words to entice someone to do something we want to do. This is also called witchcraft. And second, being on guard when enticed to do something that we are not sure is God's plan or purpose for us. So, it puts a new light on flattery. Flattery is normally, as women, we accept a lot of flattery, or we like to look good, or this type thing. But we better watch it whenever people start telling us things, because it may be twofold, the reason that we're hearing this. I'm not talking about your husband, but, so. All right, disease number six. This is the last one. It's hastiness of speech. Proverbs 29:20 tells us, do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than him. And James 1:19-20 tells us, this you know, my beloved brethren, but let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. There is an excellent example in the scripture of a man who was hasty in his words. That man was Moses. The account is in Numbers 20:8-13, and then there's a revealing insight of the same thing in Psalms 106:32. I won't read these passages, but Moses lost the opportunity to lead Israel into the promised land because of his disobedience and his rash speech. It would be well to recall, for us to recall, Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now I'm going, we've got all the diseases under our belts. Now we're going to go to the diagnosis, the root of the disease. Well, scripture's made it clear that the condition of the heart is the root cause of what comes out of our mouth. So we're going to review another couple of scriptures here to help us with this point. Matthew 12:33-35. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruits. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of which fills the heart. And James 3:8-12 tells us, with it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes both blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Neither can salt water produce fresh. Now, let's check and see what we do about it since we've got the diagnosis. Okay, we have three steps to healing our diseases of the tongue that I see. The first one is call the problem by its right name. S-I-N. It's sin. Most religious people tend to gloss over or excuse the misuse of our tongues. They think it doesn't matter much what we say. God says it makes all the difference. When we come to the moment of truth, when we come to ourselves, just as the prodigal son did, we've made the first step on the road to healing. Okay, step number two is confess your sin and receive forgiveness and cleansing. 1 John 1:7-9 tells us, but if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, bringing it into the light of his righteousness, acknowledging the real nature and the seriousness of our problem, then God is faithful to do his part, to forgive us because Jesus shed his blood for this, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Please remember that God not only forgives us for this legal part, but he also cleanses us, which is cleans our conscience and our mind. That's good. He cleans our conscience and our mind also. If you have a hard time with guilt, maybe you've not found true forgiveness through repentance. Because when you're forgiven, you're forgiven. You can turn around and walk away and never go back when you repent. So please know that God won't stop halfway with you. If you stay with him, he'll take you all the way. All the way. Okay, step number three is to refuse sin and yield to God. We must say no to sin and yes to God. We must do both. If we just say no, we'll still have a vacuum. We must fill the vacuum with the Holy Spirit. Romans 6:12-14 tells us, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lust, and do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Colossians 3:5-11 tells us, Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which all amount to idolatry. For it is on the account of these things that the wrath of God will come. And in them also, you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of one who created him. When your thoughts and tongues challenge you to say something that you're not sure of, say no, because it usually comes into your mind before you say it. If it comes into your mouth first, you need to get a check, because you need to think about things before you say them. We all do. I do. Say no, I will not yield my most unruly member to sin. Then turn to God and say, God, I yield my tongue to you and ask you to control this member, which I cannot, because we can't. He can control it, but we cannot. There's only one power capable of controlling it, and that is the Holy Spirit. And we have to give him our tongue. We have to give him our tongue. And I struggle with that all the time, giving him my tongue, because things come out that I don't want to come out before they come out. I don't think about them before I say them. But he's teaching us. He's teaching us. He's teaching us. Well, as Jerry told us the other day, she said, God permits us to come to a place of failure, desiring to show us what we're made of. He teaches us. What a good God we have. What a good God we have. He gives us the opportunity to allow him to minister to us, to teach us, and to strengthen us. And we're the ones that decide how to respond to him. He already knows. It's us that has to respond to him. Well, recalling the rudder of the ship that was used in James chapter 3, there was a pilot that commanded that rudder. Who is the pilot commanding your rudder? Will the ship of your life end up shipwrecked and sailing successfully into the purposes of God? God says, none of you can control your tongues. He also says, but I have a pilot. Will you invite the pilot on board? All you need to do is ask. Are you the pilot, or is the Holy Spirit the pilot of your vessel that commands you? Now, I want to pray for us all on the control of our tongue, and then I want to do something a little different. I'm going to get to do something about the relationships, the love for one another. So we'll pray. Father God, help us, help us. Holy Spirit, I know I can't control my tongue the right way. I may fail miserably trying to. Please come and take control of my tongue. I will yield it to you. Give me a heart and a tongue that glorifies my Lord and Savior, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, let us glorify you with our tongues in everything we do and say. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. What I would like to do is, since we don't know each other, I want us to turn where we can see everybody, whatever we need to do, and we're going to share in the love of Jesus with each other. We're going to introduce ourselves. We're going to, if we have a concern in our life, we're going to say it. Whatever the Holy Spirit leads us to do in this. Because we need the fellowship. We need the the godly fellowship of women. We lead these hurry up lives, and we don't have time to smell the roses. We don't have time to be Jesus to somebody else. We're always too busy. So I want us to take this time for, I don't know, 30 minutes or so, and then we can go. And we'll just sit and we will share. If the Holy Spirit leads that we have someone that needs to say something to someone else because they see Jesus in them, something that edifies them, we need to do that. If we have something in us that needs to be delivered, then we need to speak it out. And we need to pray as a group because we are in fellowship, because we love Jesus. We all love Jesus. We all know Him, right? We all have the Holy Spirit. Anybody that doesn't have the Holy Spirit with that tongue, let's get it. Let's get it. We are ready to get whatever God wants us to have, and we are ready to bond together as women in fellowship, in unity in the Lord.
This is the end. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.